A new survey titled Eating 2020, How COVID-19 Will Change Consumer Engagement with Food, surveyed more than 1,800 participants and looked at purchasing trends before, during, and after COVID-19's stay-at-home restrictions. Learn about the study's findings coming up. Some farmers, about 5%, according to Ohio Farm Bureau's Farm, Food, and Agribusiness COVID-19 Impact Survey, are being impacted positively, mostly from a direct-to-consumer standpoint. Hear from one farm family seeing a boom later this hour.
From the Ohio Farm Bureau studio, this is our Ohio Weekly, highlighting those who grow our food, fiber, and fuel, while examining issues that are important for farmers and their neighbors throughout the Buckeye State. Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now with this week's news feed, here's our Ohio Weekly host, Ty Higgins.
COVID-19 has many consumers thinking differently about where they source their food, and because of that, a new resource developed by Ohio State University Extension is helping consumers looking for locally grown products connect with farmers in their area. Brooke Beam is in Highland County. She's with Extension, an educator for agriculture and natural resources and community development. She helped put together a directory of local food producers. Brooke, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, not a problem.
We have heard a lot of negative stories, obviously, in agriculture about what COVID-19 and this global pandemic has done for farmers and everyone along the food supply system. Locally, though, we are seeing an uptick in interest in what's being done at the local level and consumers seeking out farmers for fruits and vegetables and protein. And there's a new local food producers directory. Tell me about this directory and how it came to be.
Sure. So we've been receiving at the Extension offices a lot of interest about where to source local foods. A lot of community members are interested on where they can purchase their local meat or local eggs. And we did not have a directory of farms that offer these kinds of products that have direct consumable products. So a few weeks ago, a few of my colleagues and I developed a survey. It's open to any farmer that would like to add their name and their farm information. We started it regionally in the Highland County and then the surrounding counties, but we kept getting a lot of folks from other parts of the state. So we've just expanded it as a directory for the whole state. You can access the site by visiting u.osu.edu/local-food-producers. It's all listed by the county. And if you are a producer that would like to add your farm, there's also the link to the survey to get your farm added on the homepage there.
Really impressive list for how long it's been up. How many farmers have now taken part and are on this directory?
We have over 300 who have submitted their information, and we're updating it daily. It's a great resource for anybody who's wanting to find something local. We have everything that's been listed on here, ranging from fresh meat, eggs, that's more as we get into more in the summer season, fresh vegetables, but there's even some specialty things like candies and homemade pies and maple syrup. So there's a very broad spectrum of things that you can find.
I mentioned that direct-to-consumer sales are one of the positives coming out of what we're seeing with this crisis. I think there's another positive there, and I think you might be able to speak to this too. The consumer beginning to realize how their food is produced, that it doesn't just show up at the grocery store. I think there's starting to be some questions answered in an unfortunate way about how food is produced here in Ohio and across the country, but that could be a good thing and start some really great conversations.
Sure. There's a lot of challenges that many farmers are facing right now, but particularly for some individuals who have direct markets or they've been doing a lot of their business through farmers markets, this does present several opportunities for them to expand their businesses.
Brooke Beam is an Extension educator for agriculture and natural resources and community development in Highland County. Again, the directory of local food producers can be found at u.osu.edu/local-food-producers. As states like Ohio begin to reopen for business, a new study found that health and safety will continue to be a top concern for consumers as they enter grocery stores and markets. Results from the Eating 2020, How COVID-19 Will Change Consumer Engagement with Food survey were recently released. Henda Mitchell is president of Inspire PR Group. Her team, along with market research firm Illuminology, put the survey together. Henda, what was it for you and your colleagues that brought interest to COVID-19, consumers, and food?
For us, so much of the work we do is impacted by food. whether it is the work we do with restaurant companies, the work we do with farmers, the work we do with food production companies, or even the work we do with the food banks and hunger relief. Everything is impacted by food. And as we navigated through this global pandemic, we really wanted to understand where were consumers going to land, because we felt like it would be helpful to be able to give food companies and restaurant companies some signals, some guidance of where they need to head and what they can expect.
So what were some of the top concerns consumers have as the stay-at-home orders begin to ease?
So one of, I think probably the most interesting thing that came out of our data was this learning that even as grocery stores, as restaurants reopen to the public and these restrictions are lifted, that consumers largely seem to trust that groceries and restaurants can take the steps to keep them safe and to protect their employees. Where that falls off, however, is that consumers are really fearful of other consumers. And so it's interesting, you know, that while they sort of, you know, have this sort of comfort level with going back into grocery stores and back into restaurants, they're really mindful of being exposed to the virus from those around them, from the general public. And I think what's really important about that is it really, you know, the data sort of confirms what we've believed to be true, is that anybody who's in the food business is going to have to really be prepared to meet consumer expectations for health and safety for some time to come. And having those clearly defined protocols about how businesses are going to keep their customers safe, and again, that's mostly keep them safe from other customers, is going to be really critical to restoring trust and confidence. And ultimately, of course, trust and confidence is what's going to mean, hey, you've got a steady revenue stream again.
There are two words that are going to stick out to me as I recall COVID-19, as I get older, and that's going to be unprecedented and pivot. We've all had to do some sort of pivot throughout our lives, and now we're more accustomed to ordering online for groceries or for food from a restaurant. We saw a surge in online orders, pickups, and deliveries in April. Will that continue as things get somewhat back to the way things were before COVID-19?
Absolutely, it's going to continue. But what is really interesting from the findings that we had is about 4 in 10 consumers were using online delivery, curbside pickup of groceries, things like that, for the first time as these restrictions came into place. They were either new consumers to the process, or they had lapsed, like they tried it once a while back and then hadn't gone back to it. And so although 4 in 10 people chose to go ahead with curbside or delivery of groceries, for example, what they also told us is that when the restrictions are lifted, they're probably not going to continue with that habit. And so I think that's really telling to them, which is so we're going to see that sort of spike in delivery and curbside pickup probably drop right back down once these stay-at-home restrictions are lifted. Similarly, on the dine-in side, although most people have been with restaurants have been doing curbside pickup or again delivery, we are going to see people want to go back to restaurants, and I think that's great news for restaurants. It's great news for people like farmers who provide food to restaurants, because they are going to go back in. Now the numbers aren't going to jump right back to where they were pre-COVID-19, but we are going to see them come back up. People do want to go back to restaurants, and I think that talks a lot about, you know, food is an experience, right? And it's an opportunity to gather together. It's not just about sort of going out and getting the meal. It's also about the social and the sort of comfort aspect of it. And so people are going to go back. They won't go back at the same level they did. We're going to see about a 20% drop from pre-COVID dining levels, but they will get back in there.
The survey is called Eating 2020, How COVID-19 Will Change Consumer Engagement with Food. Hinda Mitchell is president of Inspire PR Group, one of the early states. Hinda, as you know, we're right here in it to issue a stay-at-home order in Ohio. What were you able to glean about consumer behaviors from respondents from here in the Buckeye State?
So by and large, Ty, the data tracked in Ohio tracked with the national consumer data as well. We are seeing consumers saying, yes, we want employees at grocery stores and restaurants to wear masks. We do want social distancing from other customers. You know, we also, consumers in Ohio and across the country, want restaurants to limit the number of diners in a restaurant at any time. And Ohioans felt the same way as consumers across the country did, in that they're more fearful of other customers than they are of grocery and restaurant health and safety protocols. That being said, there was one statistically significant difference between Ohio and the national research. And that is that Ohioans are less likely to be extremely or very worried about getting sick from COVID-19 when compared to the nation as a whole. And about one in three Ohioans is worried about getting sick from the coronavirus, but about 4 in 10 nationally. And so it's interesting. And the conclusion that we drew from that is that the leadership of Governor Mike DeWine, the leadership of Governor Amy Acton, their transparency in talking about the virus and the measures that they put in place to flatten the curve really did provide reassurance and belief among Ohioans that, in fact, they're not as worried about getting sick.
Is there a place where all the results of the survey can be found?
They are on our website at inspireprgroup.com, and there's a link to the research right at the top of the page.
Eating 2020, How COVID-19 Will Change Consumer Engagement with Food, a survey put together by Illuminology, and Henda Mitchell, president of Inspire PR Group, joining us on Our Ohio Weekly. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Glad to be with you.
We've heard plenty of stories and gotten plenty of survey results from Ohio Farm Bureau's recent COVID-19 impact survey about agriculture across the Buckeye State being negatively impacted by the coronavirus crisis. But that's not the entire story. There is a small sliver of agriculture across the state that is seeing positive impacts from COVID-19. Mostly farmers that are working directly with consumers, those that already have that business model or working in the local farmers market scene. Those farmers are seeing a boom in business. We'll hear from one Union County farm family that has had to double the herd of their cattle simply to keep up with demand there locally. Later on this hour, a young farmer by the name of Matt Vedraska has worked for over a decade on his winery and apple orchard. We'll find out his story to the beat of agriculture in just a little bit. Animals at large could be a major legal issue for farmers. There's a good reason to keep those animals inside the fence as much as you possibly can. We'll talk about those legal ramifications with Legal with Leah coming up later on this hour. And three new member benefits for Ohio Farm Bureau members. Find out about them and all the benefits open to Ohio Farm Bureau members coming up as Our Ohio Weekly continues.
Are you a small business owner supporting and involved with agriculture, such as farm equipment, food processing, grocery store, or restaurant service? Do you continue to search for reliable and affordable health coverage? Then search no more. The Ohio Farm Bureau has taken action to offer a new self-funded medical plan to save on expenses. This new health benefits plan, administered in part by Medical Mutual, offers great rates, expanded well care, fixed monthly payments, and a variety of plan designs to meet your needs. Specialty products available to employees include dental, vision, and disability at specially discounted rates. This plan also includes a 24/7 nurse line and a physician consultation service for your convenience. Search no more. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. Receive your exceptionally discounted quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses. And in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Fran, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Show your Ohio Farm Bureau pride with a new t-shirt, hat, or hoodie. Available now at ofbf.org/shop. The new Farm Bureau logo is now featured on a full line of clothing for men, women, kids, and babies. You can even add the Farm Bureau mark on water bottles, mugs, cell phone cases, and more. All from one spot. ofbf.org/shop. A bandana for the dog, a pillow for the couch, or an apron for the grill master. ofbf.org/shop. That's ofbf.org/shop.
Before I started working as a soil scientist.
Before I became a systems engineer.
Before I got started in aerospace.
I was a kid making discoveries.
I did my first lab experiment.
I found out science is cool.
In 4-H.
In 4-H.
In 4-H.
You never know when a spark will ignite the imagination and open up a world of possibilities for a young person. That's why 4-H has taken on the commitment of fostering 1 million new scientists and engineers for America's future workforce. With the help of companies and universities around the country, 4-H is growing the next generation of great thinkers.
1 million new scientists.
1 million new ideas.
Learn more and see how you can help at 4-H.org.
Stick around. Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins continues following these messages.
Welcome back to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. It's been doom and gloom. We talk about agriculture and the COVID-19 global pandemic. You've heard how it's affected the hogs and the cattle producers. You've heard how it's affected row crop farmers, dairy farmers. Not very many bright spots in agriculture these days, but there are some. We go to Union County, where Dustin and Casey Joe Converse run Crimson Knoll Cattle. They have a different story to tell. How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
We're good, Ty.
First of all, before we get into how your lives have changed due to COVID-19, tell me about the operation.
We're a corn and bean operation. We do cattle and freezer beef, almost out of necessity on the freezer beef side.
Necessity from a market perspective, but also from a passion. The opportunity, obviously, to connect with people on a product that we care really deeply about is super fun for us. We've been selling freezer beef for about 10 years now, and we travel all over the state with that. So that's pretty fun for us.
How has this positively impacted your bottom line and the way you farm?
We are having a lot more conversations with folks who have never purchased freezer beef, and a lot of those are committing to orders. We're selling more this time of year than we do normally. We can't tell you that there's been a negative other than a little tough to schedule with the processor, but our processor takes really great care of us. So we are very thankful for that.
I know you guys didn't go looking. It's hard when you have an operation like yours to know what that supply and demand is going to look like, and you probably didn't see this coming. But how are your, the customers that you depend on every year and know who you are, they know how to find you, but how are you getting new people to find out who you are and where you are and how the whole process of filling a freezer full of beef works?
So I'll speak to the first part of that, Ty, about how we didn't know exactly what to expect. Like I said, we've done this for 10 years, but we are always having the conversation, how do we figure out our customers' timelines? Because we'll get customers that purchase a quarter or a half every 6 months, and then they'll go a year and a half without purchasing again. So it's hard for us to judge what we should be planning for each year. So this was a big surprise, right? Like we felt like we finally found a groove and how many had we needed to raise, and then boom, all of this. But the biggest avenue, I would say, for us is social media. As crazy as that is, it works very well. Word of mouth, people, you know, are asking their personal friends, where can I buy beef? Sometimes, you know, it's just, it's easy. And people give us referrals. Of course, our return customers are seeing the shift in the grocery store, shifts, you know, just in their own freezers from being home, and they're coming back to us. We do a little bit of advertising in print sometimes, you know, in newspapers, online, little things like that, but it's mostly word of mouth and social media.
It's not easy to pivot in your industry. You can't just put more cattle out on the pasture and have them the next day be ready to go. What did you have to do? How did you have to think outside of the box to make the business model you have work for the times we're in?
Exactly. It's definitely a lot of forward thinking, like thinking about what's going to happen this summer, working with family members that raise cattle as well. How can we work together on this and meet the demand?
And early on, we had some interest. So early into this, like some repeat customers that we had just sold to, say, 3-4 months ago, and they were inquiring about getting more because they were worried. And I originally, we didn't have anything scheduled. And at that point, I went ahead and I scheduled dates because I knew at least our return customers needed more. So we kind of started, luckily, early enough that we got into the processor and got all the scheduling done, which is, I think, the hardest part, you know, for everybody else right now. If you didn't already have that, you're a couple months out at least. So
I'll let you know, Ty, that Dustin was right. About 3 months ago, I said, let's just take them to market. We need to do some work on the fence. We need to pour some concrete. And he said, no, let's hold them back. And I'm glad he did. So,
are you worried about a shift back in the other direction? Not an overcorrection, but just the way things were. And how do you know what to do for later this year or early next year? How do you plan for supply and demand that you simply don't know whether it'll be there or not?
That is something I'm worried about, just from the financial side of things. So another thing that helped us with availability, we had people that wanted freezer beef, but when all this started happening, they're not working as much, they're getting laid off, they then backed out of orders, which is fine. We obviously respect that, and it allowed us to move those orders to other people. But it is a big financial commitment, and storage, obviously, too. If you don't have a deep freeze, it's hard for people to put this in their home. So I am nervous a little bit that, you know, people will buy now because of their nerves, but fall out of that consumer habit just because they don't want to throw $600-$700 at it later on.
There's also an opportunity here, isn't there, to visit with consumers that normally wouldn't work directly with the farmer, to maybe answer some of their questions, some of their concerns, some things they might be hearing on the news. You guys, you're very good at taking advantage of opportunities like that.
Yeah, we really like delivering the product when it's all put together, too. And that's part of that end of it. You know, we get to go out there and actually talk to the people. And I think that's very helpful, especially when it comes to, you know, repeat customers and that relationship, just getting the relationship side of it started. So hopefully, you know, next year when this is all over with, you know, they still want to go forward with the procedure, you know, to keep their freezer full and go straight to the grower, basically. So
the conversations are seriously what fill us up. We, every time we pull out of a driveway where we've, you know, stood there and looked at beautiful steaks together and talked about recipes and what those families enjoy, that is just a top-notch experience for us. It really is such a joy.
Dustin and Casey Joe Converse in Union County run Crimson Knoll Cattle. I guess there are a couple of occupations that might do pretty well during this crisis. If you're selling freezers, that's probably a pretty good deal right now. And if you're selling freezer beef, that's obviously a pretty good deal as well, especially the direct-to-consumer, as Dustin and Casey Joe are doing. Thank you both so much. I hope you're staying safe. I wish you well.
Thank you, Ty.
Thanks.
Our Ohio Weekly continues next. From the Ohio Farm Bureau, this is Our Ohio Weekly. Let's head up to Wayne County and visit Rittman Orchards, the same place you'll find Bent Ladder Cider and Wine. While these family operations are multidimensional, the two things they regularly have on tap are determination and dedication. Let's hear today's story on this segment of To the Beat of Agriculture.
My name's Matt Pedraska. I'm from Wayne County. I run Rittman Orchards and Bent Ladder Cider and Winery. We're a diversified fruit operation that really prides ourselves on going all the way from farm to glass. We control every step of the process, from planting the trees and vines, taking care of them for years, until we finally harvest and process the juice and turn that juice into wine and hard cider. From the roots to, you know, what ends up going home with our customers, we're involved in every step of the process. Every step has its own unique challenges and interests. I mean, my brother and I are also involved in apple breeding research, trying to develop new varieties for hard ciders. So sitting down and discussing crosses and test varieties, how we can incorporate that into the finished product. You know, getting out there in the summer, scouting the fruit, how it's doing, supervising harvests, and really gearing up for the processing to start. Putting it finally in kegs and bottles and serving that first glass and seeing the expression on the customer's face when they taste, you know, real hard cider for the first time. It's all very satisfying. Cider and wine are very unique in that when it's done right, you're not just having an enjoyable, you know, experience, but you're really tasting where that wine and cider comes from. That French concept of terroir, you know, the essence of a place. And I think when, at least what we do, we're trying to really capture that essence of Rittman Orchards and bottle it. We are Ohio natives. My parents are both Cleveland kids. I grew up my first 10 years in Ashtabula County. If you stood on a hill, you could see the lake and you could practically toss a stone to Pennsylvania. I mean, that's how far northeast we were. My dad took over a defunct dairy farm up there in the mid-70s when he married my mom and started a fruit operation a lot like what we do here in terms of the variety of things we grow. So that's where my brother and I have an older brother. Got our start. So when we were still kids, we moved out to Washington State and farmed out there. Very different agricultural infrastructure in place, what the farm owner's role is, how things are farmed and operated. Now, Ag in Ohio really allows us to interact more directly with the end consumer. You know, we built up relationships directly with executive chefs in the restaurant industry around here. Most of our business is on-site sales, and that allows us to do a lot more fun things. We grow over 100 different varieties of apples. In Washington State, we grew two. We grew Red Delicious and a few Winter Banana for pollinating the Red Delicious. Here, it's you control your own destiny. Yeah, my folks found this place. It took them over 10 years to actually buy it. We saved it from getting developed into housing units. So my dad's one of those original farmers. He's going to be out in the field till he drops, I think. At least that's his plan. My mom is semi-retired. She still oversees some of the books and market operation. My brother does a lot of the field work, overseeing the employees, managing the online presence with the website, things like that. His wife is the market manager. And then Bent Ladder, the winery, has been my project, along with off-site sales for Rittman Orchards, where we market a lot to area chefs and farm markets and stuff like that. Our farm market and winery has gone entirely to online and carry-out sales. Carry-out only hurts sales. Trying to keep our workers safe and productive has also been a challenge. Strawberry rows are less than 3 feet apart. I don't know how you can do U-pick with social distancing very well. Or crowded farmers markets. I mean, these are kind of integral to our business and there's a lot of uncertainty of how that can play out in our current atmosphere. You know, I mean, the winery took, I kid you not, 10 years of my life, 5 years of planning and educating myself, teaching myself, and then actually for the past 5 years, designing, overseeing the construction, opening and running it. I'm proud of what we've accomplished here. Honestly, I would be very happy to just still be running something that looks a lot like what we do now, just with more vacation days.
That's the voice of Matt Vodraska, one of the folks behind Rittman Orchards and Bent Ladder Cider and Wine. We'd like to bring you directly to the pulse of Ohio's ag community through that weekly segment, To the Beat of Agriculture. If you'd like to hear the story again and others, visit our website, ofbf.org, and search Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins, back in a few moments.
Brad, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
At Georgia Boot, we build our boots just like the people who wear them. Tough, dependable, and hardworking. You need a boot that you can count on. That's why Georgia Boot always uses rich, full-grain leathers and comfort insoles to maximize your all-day comfort. We've been building boots that way since 1937. You pick the best tools for the job. Why would your boots be any different? Georgia Boot is America's hardest-working boot. Go to georgiaboot.com to see our latest promotions or to find a dealer near you.
Hi, this is John Merrihue, Director of Member Services for the Ohio Farm Bureau. Case IH is a proud supporter of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Working to build strong, prosperous agricultural communities, the Ohio Farm Bureau protects the future of your farm and your neighbor's farms all year long. And thanks to this strong partnership, Ohio Farm Bureau members receive a discount up to $500 on qualifying Case IH equipment. Choose from Case IH FarmAll Series tractors, including Compact, Utility, and 100 A Series, and Maxim Series tractors as well. Plus, save on hay and forage equipment like self-propelled windrowers, mower conditioners, and large square round balers. This discount may be used with other promotions, rebates, or offers. And it's available for every qualifying Case IH tractor and piece of equipment you purchase. Join Ohio Farm Bureau today to pocket up to $500 in savings. Get your discount by visiting ofbf.org.
Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins continues after this.
You're listening to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. If you're just now joining us, you missed my conversation with Hinda Mitchell with Inspire PR here in Columbus. Her team recently did a survey called Eating 2020, How COVID-19 Will Change Consumer Engagement with Food. You can listen to that if you missed it online at ofbf.org. You'll also catch my conversation with the Converse family in Union County. There are some farmers with a unique story through COVID-19. They're seeing positive impacts from the coronavirus pandemic because people are wanting to buy their protein, their beef and chicken and pork, locally. Dustin and Casey raise beef in Union County. Hear their story again at ofbf.org. Just search Our Ohio Weekly. One of my best memories as a 4 or 5 year old on the farm is when that kitchen phone would ring off the wall about 2 or 3 in the morning, the neighbors telling us our cows got out. Didn't happen that often, but when you're that young, it's kind of fun to hop in the dually with Dad and try to round them all up and get them back into the field. For Dad and Grandpa, though, it was a headache for sure, because they had to milk a couple hours later. And if it happened too often, well, they could have been in trouble legally. That's why we bring in Leah Curtis, Policy Counsel with Ohio Farm Bureau, for this Legal with Leah, talking about animals at large. And Leah, it was fun as a kid in the middle of the night rounding up cattle, but it could have been a very serious situation with some legal implications.
Yes. And so that's why we do have laws in the state of Ohio that make it a crime, technically, to allow animals, be they horse, cows, sheep, goats, swine, llamas, alpacas, and poultry, pretty much all of them, to allow them to be either on the public road or to be on somebody else's land or on an unenclosed land. So that law is trying to make sure that we don't have those issues where animals are going to be out, they're going to be causing damage, they're going to be involved in car accidents and that kind of thing.
So there are a couple of different aspects to this animals at large law. There's reckless and there's negligent. If animals keep getting out and it's deemed as reckless, what does that mean?
So this would be a fourth degree misdemeanor if you would be found guilty of it. And to be found guilty of the fourth degree misdemeanor, the prosecutor would need to show that you had violated this statute recklessly. And that's a legal term. But basically what that means is there was a substantial risk that this was going to happen and you ignored that risk and took no action to try to prevent it. So, you know, if you know you have a problem with your fence, maybe you know your fence got knocked down and then you don't go fix it and then the cows get out, that's obvious that there was a real risk there that the cows were going to get out, that they might cause damage. And so you may have been reckless in allowing those animals to run at large.
What would the penalty be for something like that?
So for a fourth degree misdemeanor, the penalty is up to 30 days in jail or up to a $250 fine. So what we typically see happen with animals at large when we have seen people be charged with it is they get fined, particularly in a first offense situation. If it continues to be a problem, we have seen even recently some people who have had 9 or 10 different prosecutions for animals at large. And that is where a judge is getting to the point of saying, hey, I'm going to put you in jail because you are not taking the actions you need to keep your animals in their enclosures.
So that's if it's deemed reckless. How about negligent?
So from the negligent side would be that you had a substantial lapse of due care. So you're not doing the normal things that you would do as a livestock owner to make sure your animals stay in. So that's, you know, you're not checking fences periodically. You're not keeping up your fence lines. And negligently comes into play when you are sued privately in a civil suit for damages due to an animal running at large. So this might be your cows get out and they trample through somebody's corn, or your cows get out and they get into your neighbor's yard and damage their car. That is where the negligent standard would come into play if that person would file a lawsuit against you, and the court would be looking to determine, did you act negligently in allowing those animals to run at large?
Majority of the time this happens, it's an accident, it's a one-off, but every once in a while this can be a situation that makes it to the court. What advice do you have for members that maybe are in this situation or to keep them out of the situation altogether?
So I think the best advice you can give is do the things that we all know we should be doing. You know, make sure you're going out and walking those fences periodically. When you see there's a problem with the fence, make sure you're fixing it. And on that note, I do want to say that, you know, we have a lot of questions about line fence from time to time. And people will say, well, I think it's my neighbor's job to fix that fence, but my cows are going to get out. It may be your neighbor's job to fix that fence, but it is your job to keep those cows contained because they are your cows. So if you get to that situation where you have that dispute, you need to take action to make sure your animals stay in and then figure out the dispute later with your neighbor, because it is your duty and your job to keep those cows in or keep those sheep in or whatever, and make sure they're not running at large. So if you do have that dispute, make sure that you're taking care of your animals while the dispute is ongoing.
Leah Curtis is Policy Counsel with Ohio Farm Bureau. This is Legal with Leah. Listen to more podcasts online now at ofbf.org. More Our Ohio Weekly after this.
$500 in bonus cash on eligible Ford vehicles. $750 in bonus cash on eligible Lincoln vehicles. All it takes is to be or become a member of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Bonus cash applies to purchases and leases. For all the program requirements and details, visit ofbf.org. Big bonus cash on new Fords and Lincolns exclusively for Ohio Farm Bureau members. Visit ofbf.org.
Have you heard about the Ohio Farm Bureau Energy Program? Eligible members are saving an average of 15% on their electric and natural gas bills. The program works through a network of suppliers to secure cost-saving pricing in competitive electric and natural gas regions. We've heard from members who've saved hundreds of dollars annually on their energy costs. Getting started is easy. Simply call the Energy Program customer service line, 800-830-3501, and our representative will assist you from there. 800-830-3501. You can also visit ofbf.org/savings to learn more.
Are you a small business owner supporting agriculture, such as farm equipment, food processing, grocery store, or restaurant service? Do you continue to search for reliable and affordable health coverage? Search no more. The Ohio Farm Bureau has taken action to offer a new self-funded medical plan to save on expenses. This new health benefits plan, administered in part by Medical Mutual, offers great rates, expanded well care, and a variety of plans designed to meet your needs. Specialty products available to employees include dental, vision, and disability at specially discounted rates. This plan also includes a 24/7 nurse line and a physician consultation service for your convenience. Search no more. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. Receive your exceptionally discounted quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Brad, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
No matter where your travels take you, Ohio Farm Bureau membership benefits will follow. Before you check in, you should check out the wide variety of options Farm Bureau members have when it comes to hotel discounts. From names like Red Roof Inn and Motel 6 to over 30 iconic brands offered through Choice and Wyndham, you'll be able to find the comfort level that's right for you. To learn more on how to save on your lodging needs, visit ofbf.org/savings, another valuable member benefit exclusive to Ohio Farm Bureau members.
More of Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins next.
Thank you for making Our Ohio Weekly a part of your weekend. I'm Ty Higgins. There are so many benefits to being a member of Ohio Farm Bureau, not just the fact that we represent Ohio's number one industry and lobby on behalf of farmers across the state. There are also some money-saving and unique member benefits, and that's where John Merrihew comes in. He's the Senior Director of Partnerships and Member Services with Ohio Farm Bureau. And John, we have three brand new member benefits we'll talk about in just a bit, but before we get into that, give us an overview of Ohio Farm Bureau's member benefits program.
Our member benefit program is basically part of the membership package at Ohio Farm Bureau. When you join the Farm Bureau, you get a full array of benefits that come with the membership, everything from saving money at big dealerships like Case and Caterpillar and Ford, all the way down to individual savings at Ohio amusement parks like Kings Island and Cedar Point. So really a wide array of member benefits that different members can use.
Of course, we'll talk about how to find out all those benefits on our website in just a bit, but we have three brand new member benefits just added a couple of weeks ago. What are they?
Three new benefits, and the funny thing is they're all pretty different from each other. The first member benefit is Intel FC Stone. This is a benefit more geared towards the farmer, maybe the larger commodity grower that helps with commodity prices and online trading. It's pretty in-depth, and it really has a neat appeal for some of the bigger producers in Ohio. The next member benefit is Xerox, the well-known manufacturer of copy machines and printers. That offers a really traditional member benefit of members where they can just save money if they're buying or leasing a machine, especially good for the members that might own a business that could be using a business environment. And then the third member benefit is Dollywood, the well-known amusement park hosted by Dolly Parton down in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. This is a member benefit that can be appealing to all of the members, especially those that, that like to get in the car and drive. And if you didn't know, Dollywood is a great attraction for Ohioans. A lot of Ohioans travel to Pigeon Forge, and the representative there told me they love having Ohioans, Ohio Farm Bureau members show up. So this should be a great benefit for our members.
Yeah, all three of those benefits are great, but I will tell you, when we put them on Facebook, we got more responses from Dollywood than the other two, because people, I think for one, they just want to get out of the house, and they're looking for a reason to get to Dollywood as soon as they can. But members excited about that benefit and heading to Pigeon Forge and taking in the scenery and the fun that Dollywood has to offer.
That's exactly right. I didn't mention, but I should have, the Farm Bureau member receives $10 off per ticket, and that is both for the adult and for the kids. So, you know, members with a family of four, says $40 right off the top.
You mentioned the money-saving part. If you look at the back of your Ohio Farm Bureau membership card, you'll see, as John mentioned, a list of some of the bigger opportunities you have to take advantage of as an Ohio Farm Bureau member. But there are plenty of other member benefit opportunities. And where can you find them on our website, John?
Yeah, we have a special portal on our website. It's under the drop-down of membership, and it's listed member benefits, pretty self-explanatory. Go to that link, and then there's going to be a page on every single one of our benefits. So you just click on that page, kind of read an overview of how the member benefit works. And then what you need to do is you need to actually log into your account. If you decide that you want to use one of those member benefits and get the special discount or a certificate that kind of like a coupon certificate, you then have to log in with your Ohio Farm Bureau membership account to download or print out that certificate. And it's pretty easy to do, and we have members doing it every day.
Ohio Farm Bureau also has the Member Savings Advantage program. How's that different from member benefits?
So Member Savings Advantage, and this is a great question, Ty, is one of our many member benefits. It's a program in and of itself. So Member Savings Advantage, the best way to think about it is back in the day, kind of when I grew up, we used to buy these coupon books, and you would rip out a coupon and you take it maybe to the local pizza shop or the bowling alley and you'd get 10% off, or you might get a free game. That's the same concept. But now, you know, living in today's day and age, it's on an online platform and a mobile phone platform. So we partner with a third-party provider that's able to accumulate and download all those discounts across Ohio and across the nation. There's approximately 300,000 different types of discounts that are on that platform that we make available to our Farm Bureau members. So everything from simple discounts like saving money at Papa John's when you buy a pizza, to other discounts that maybe when you rent a rental car or buy some paint at Sherwin-Williams. I mean, there's just a multitude of different types of opportunities, but those are all housed within our program called Member Savings Advantage. So check it out.
What it all boils down to is a membership with Ohio Farm Bureau with the member benefits and the Member Savings Advantage pays for itself in quick fashion. Again, you can find out more online at ofbf.org. If you're a member, you can put your information in and see about these money-saving opportunities. If you're not a member, you can find information to become one. ofbf.org. John Merrihue, Senior Director of Partnerships and Member Services with Ohio Farm Bureau. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ty.
Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. And produced by Ohio Farm Bureau. Working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities. Be sure to visit Our Ohio Weekly's podcast page to listen to previous episodes at ofbf.org/Our Ohio Weekly.
Thank you, as always, for listening. I'm Ty Higgins. We'll see you down the road.